The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Shearer and Owen.
You're very welcome to our pre-Christmas edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour. Looking forward to a very busy festive schedule for the teams across the Premier League, and a very important one with Liverpool away. We've got a huge clash coming up tomorrow evening between second place Leicester and the defending champions Manchester City. And we'll see who's on the sidelines. It's going to be caretaker bosses by the looks of it for the lunchtime game tomorrow between Arsenal and Everton. But both teams are expected to appoint their new managers by the close of business today. Our two elves to help us get the picks, festive Phil Egan and like reindeer Raffaello.
I've been called worse in my time, so I'll take that.
We should have worn Christmas jumper, shouldn't we?
We should have, yeah. Maybe.
I only have the one, so I need to use it a bit over Christmas.
Is it a good one?
It's all right. It's about 5 years old, though.
Okay.
I need to get a new one.
Well, the listeners can pretend you are wearing one, and the viewers can imagine what Phil would look like in his Christmas jumper.
Yeah.
Raff, we're going into a very busy period of the season, a very important one for the clubs as well. We might kick off with tomorrow's lunchtime game because so much intrigue around this. We're wondering whether this will be Carlo Ancelotti against Mikel Arteta. We know Duncan Ferguson is definitely going to be in the dugout at Goodison Park for Everton, but Arteta could yet be on the sideline for Arsenal tomorrow, depending how things go this afternoon.
It could be, but I would imagine he'll be having a standoff with Ancelotti in the stands rather than in the dugout itself, which leaves it quite intriguing about what's going to happen on the pitch, because Arsenal have been rudderless under Ljungberg, hasn't changed anything at all. Even there was a moment against City where I think it was De Bruyne or somebody was running through about to make it 4-0, and he looked so bewildered on the sideline, hands on the head, and just not in control at all, whereas Duncan Ferguson is probably in too much control, and Moise Keane will be quite glad to see the back of him as well, given what happened at Old Trafford.
That incident aside, Phil, Duncan Ferguson hasn't had a bad caretaker time in charge, though. I know they lost to Leicester on penalties midweek in the League Cup, but played well in the two Premier League games that he was in charge.
Yeah, technically he could say that he hasn't lost a game in 90 minutes, but the fact that they were 2-0 down in that game bodes well that they actually fought back, because in Marco Silva's time, they never won a point after going behind. They never won a game after going behind in the Premier League under Marco Silva, which would suggest once you go ahead of Everton, that's them done. But Duncan Ferguson has instilled a bit more fight in them. And I'm not sure about the way he handled the Moise Keane situation. And it looks like Ferguson's going to stay on as part of Ancelotti's coaching staff. So how will that play out? You'd like to think Ancelotti comes in, puts the arm around the shoulder of his compatriot and said, look, I rate you and I'm looking forward to working with you. And maybe I don't know what role Duncan Ferguson plays in that, but
good cop, bad cop, maybe.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the two managers were, like, both of them could have ended up in opposite dugouts. They were both linked with both jobs, and will they sit beside each other at Goodison tomorrow? And if Everton go a couple of goals up, Ancelotti turns around to Arteta saying, "Don't like the look of your job." I think Arteta would have the bigger job anyway. I think Ancelotti actually would have been a good short-term solution for Arsenal, but they can't keep going short-term. They need somebody to rebuild the club, because even towards the end of the Wenger era, you could see there was trouble ahead, and they haven't done anything to fix that.
It was interesting, Raf, that Wenger was interviewed this week by Sky Sports. He's in Doha at the moment ahead of the Club World Cup, and he said, look, I left the club in a really good position. I left them with loads of money. I left them with plenty of players they could work with. And he reckons that if Mikel Arteta comes in, Arsenal now have to back him with cash.
No, 100%. The only problem is, I don't think they have the level of cash, because obviously we saw the last transfer window, even the Pepe deal, they had to structure in a way where they were paying 20 million, 20 million, 20 million over, I think it's a 5-year span, something along those lines. So the cash isn't necessarily there. There's players coming towards the end of their deals that are some of the key ones, and you know they're not going to get any cash back for them if... And it seems likely with a few of them, I think Aubameyang being one, that they're going to leave at the end of the season because they want Champions League football.
It's a heavy hint as well, Raf, this week from Aubameyang's brother, I think it was, that he's not particularly happy with the idea of Mikel Arteta coming in. Like he's their best player, but you'd imagine, given his age profile as well, this is getting into a probable transfer situation now.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, anything could happen in January, but I have a feeling just where Arsenal are at, and maybe they just have that very outside chance of maybe if they go on a good run under Arteta, getting into the top four, they'll just keep Aubameyang for that, because take away his goals and, well, you wonder where Arsenal would be. They'd be probably hovering down towards the relegation zone.
Well, Leno has been the busiest goalkeeper in the Premier League, even busier than Foster. And we saw him make some good saves last week against Manchester City as well. I'm sure for Arsenal fans, the most frustrating thing was the two De Bruyne goals were like mirrors with different feet, Foden cutting in and then De Bruyne getting a shot with no pressure on him whatsoever.
Well, that's the problem. They don't play with any intensity. And whatever you think of Mesut Ozil as a player, what he can do with the ball, he just doesn't really fit into modern systems, because most managers now, most high-level coaches demand work rate, and Mesut Ozil doesn't have it. And even you saw when he came off, he just sauntered off, and that really annoyed the Arsenal fans. And then he got thick because he was getting jeered as he walked off. And Granit Xhaka, there's talk that he's going to go to Germany. That would be a good idea. Get players like Xhaka out of the club, because Arsenal fans are sick of looking at players that aren't good enough. But there's one thing not being good enough. There's another thing if you're not trying. And that's the least you should be doing. And some of those players don't do that.
The task we've spoken about, what Arsenal are going to have to do with Arteta coming in. For Ancelotti going into Everton, Raf, is there the quality there? Because they spent a lot of money last summer. They brought in a lot of recruits, and maybe some of them just haven't quite worked out yet. Is Ancelotti the man to get things ticking there?
Potentially, yeah. They've a few experienced heads, and obviously he's had a good track record at previous clubs. Obviously, he's not dealing with the talent he had at AC Milan or Real Madrid here, but there are experienced heads like Seamus Coleman, I'm sure, who will enjoy working with Ancelotti. You know, the likes of Leighton Baines are still there. Obviously, he doesn't start. You know, you've Lucas Digne, who was playing at Barcelona not so very long ago. The only issue I've always found with Everton, it's pretty much up front, I think. Okay, the defence is a little bit leaky as well, but this is, again, cliche Italian manager coming in. He might be able to do something to rectify that section of the field. But it will be up front, where Moise Kean just hasn't really got going. He's obviously got bags of potential. And then Calvert-Lewin is he's never been massively prolific. He's a hard worker. I'm not sure he's the type of player they really need to lead the line, though, long term, with the ambitions that they have getting into the top four. But then again, look, he's still young, so maybe he could develop that ruthless streak, and maybe we've seen elements of it a bit this season.
Phil, were you a bit surprised to see Ancelotti take this job? Because he tends to pick higher profile ones. He just left Napoli 10 days before he takes this job.
Yeah, and you know, if he went off to Vancouver with his wife, where she's from, that his phone would be hopping within the next couple of months. He's always going to get linked to jobs. And
were you a bit surprised Arsenal weren't?
Yeah, I said, I wonder, did they sound them out about it? I said, I think he would have been a good short-term fix for them. But Arsenal, as I said, need something a bit more of a structure in place, a long-term structure. In terms of Everton, it definitely suits what they're trying to do, and because they're moving into a new stadium. Farhad Moshiri has a lot of money. You know, he took over. He's the majority shareholder now. Obviously, Bill Kenwright is still there, but Moshiri has grand ambitions. Whereas, you know, there was talk that Kenwright was quite happy to go back to someone like David Moyes, whereas Moshiri was probably thinking, you know, that's in the past. We want to challenge the
big boys. And even during the Moyes era, they were happy enough to just, you know, turn over a little bit of a profit or generally not spend a huge amount. He kept them in and around the top half of the table, and that was happy days for Everton.
Yeah, and he had, the thing about when Everton were managed by Moyes, they were bloody hard to play against, especially at Goodison Park. They finished fourth the season Liverpool won the Champions League. Everton finished fourth. Unfortunately, they didn't get into the group stage proper the next season because they lost that time to Villarreal.
Yeah.
But I think that there's definitely room for a bit of both, that kind of grit, determination we've seen under Duncan Ferguson in the last couple of games. But there's players there that have quality and technically are good players, and that's what Ancelotti will be looking forward to. And maybe, you know, that kind of, they need that bit of steel as well. So Everton fans want to see their team give plenty in terms of determination, but they want to be getting up out of their seats as well, to be entertained. That's just the way football is now.
Raf, give us a take on tomorrow then, because at least for me, Everton are playing better the last few games. Arsenal were a hot mess last weekend.
They were a hot mess, and have been pretty much the entire season, bar little moments here and there where their forwards have bailed them out. I think Everton will probably win this, because it's not so much just because Arsenal are a mess, but their away record is horrendous as well. So yeah, and Everton generally tend to be quite good at home. Duncan Ferguson has eked out something more from what they have there. You know, obviously Richarlison seems to have returned to some level of form, especially playing up front as well, rather than...
His form is so patchy though. He can have a great streak and then disappear for a while.
Yeah, but he's obviously hugely talented. I mean, he's in the Brazil squad relatively regularly. So yeah, I think Everton will edge this. Now, it's not going to be particularly high scoring, but Arsenal's defence is, I don't think we'll be able to cope.
I feel for Leno this season, Phil.
Yeah, I think if Everton play the way they played against Chelsea, they'll win this comfortably against Arsenal, because they outfought Chelsea, especially from the start. And if Everton get out of the blocks quickly, get the crowd into the game, then history would suggest that Arsenal will fold and it'll be another away performance where they get nothing. So I'd be quite confident in Everton.
OK, we've got a really important game tomorrow evening as well. For Leicester City, this is a key kind of 5 days or so coming up for Brendan Rodgers and his side. I'm sure they'll be buoyed by the fact they've got into the last four of the League Cup, Raf. But in terms of the Premier League, where they've been so impressive so far this year, they've got to take on Man City and Liverpool over the next week. This is crunch time for them.
It is crunch time if they have any ambition of potentially, you know, causing an upset in the league. Personally, I don't think they will. I think the points gap to Liverpool, I know Liverpool fans probably are a bit more edgy. I'm not
Liverpool. Understandable, 2014 is still there.
Yeah, I'm not a Liverpool fan, so I don't have that worry whatsoever. But I think the points gap is too big for them, for Leicester, to close that gap. Also, they dropped points last weekend against Norwich, which was a little bit of a dent because they were on this good roll of momentum.
Yeah, you thought home to Norwich.
Yeah,
this is a win,
you think they're going to roll Norwich over, and they didn't do it. That being said, though, it's not out of the bounds of possibility that they could beat Man City, because I think City are set up in a way that suits Leicester. Leicester want to play on the break. Vardy wants to, break a high line, and City play into that. Now, the difference between, say, a City or an Arsenal is City press. So if Leicester can't beat the press, then obviously City should be able to take them, especially at home. But there is that latent danger. Like, I think Leicester have more of a chance of beating City than Liverpool, per se.
What do you think, Phil? Because
I actually think the way Leicester set up, we saw it. I know there was the pressure of the title race, but Leicester caused Man City a few problems in the game at the Etihad earlier this year. And you could definitely, I think there's no doubt about it, they're a better team now. Leicester are, even though they've lost Maguire, Soyuncu and Evans have been excellent, the two fullbacks. But if they just sit in and they have the players, the ability, indeed he covers the back four so well, and if Madison's given space, he'll just pick that ball out to Jamie Vardy, and be interesting to see what he does on the left hand side. Does he play someone like Harvey Barnes? But I'm not sure. Like, City obviously bounced back from that defeat to Manchester United by beating Arsenal and beating Oxford, but Oxford got plenty of chances
early in the second half. Oxford caused them loads of problems.
I know, and the thing is that City are just not what they were the last couple of seasons. So they will win plenty of games. But I just wonder, against better teams that have attacking players that can get at that City defence, once you get in at them, there's a fair chance you're going to score or create a really good chance. So I wouldn't be surprised if Leicester get something from the game. If they won, really wouldn't surprise me. Like, they have a chance by, say, 10 o'clock on the 26th of December, they could be within 4 points of Liverpool.
Albeit Liverpool will have a couple of games to get back at that stage. But Raf, when you look at Leicester this year, some of the big games, they've gone to Old Trafford, they lost 1-0, but made it very difficult for Manchester United. They made it very difficult for Liverpool at Anfield as well. So this idea of Leicester going away to a big team in the Premier League doesn't necessarily phase in this season.
No, especially the way they play and have played. Even you go back to the title winning season a few years ago, they have that template of being good on the break, which is suitable against teams that the teams that are above them. And also with Rodgers, obviously they have the other side as well, where they want to be technically quite good as well. So yeah, they have that.
Phil, Man City last week, do we take this as an outlier, the way that Arsenal played, because Arsenal were terrible on the day, or were we seeing City getting back somewhat towards the form they hadn't shown in the two games previously?
No, Guardiola said it after the game last week, that they played better against United. Arsenal were hopeless. Like, they played with no intensity. It was like a training match for City. It was only 3-0 because City just took their foot off the gas in the second half, basically.
Like, they declared when they put the third goal in.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect description for it, because they're probably looking ahead to the fixtures thinking, let's just play here at 60 or 70% because we'll save our legs. We have a few games coming up. And look, they've so much attacking talent that, of course, they're going to score tomorrow. I'd be very surprised if they didn't. But you'd worry about them conceding as well. What does he do? He went with Mendy at left back last week. He didn't play Mendy against Oxford, so the suggestion would be that he'd go in there. But even at times, Pepe had a little bit of joy on Mendy, where you thought if Arsenal are going to create anything, it's going to come down that side. So I'd say there'd be goals anyway. And but do you know what? As I said, Leicester and Wolves are pivotal in this title race in the next week because both play Liverpool and Man City.
In terms of City's defence, Raf, Martinelli caused them problems. Fernandinho, despite being an excellent player and he's a fantastic defensive midfielder, he doesn't quite naturally have the instincts at centre-back that you might need. I mean, for him tomorrow, likelihood Jamie Vardy's going to be running off his shoulder. Leicester could get behind them quite a few times.
Yeah, very, very easily. He's an excellent defensive midfielder. They're all very different roles in the field. It's like telling maybe a full-back to go and play in central midfield. You know, there's types of spatial awareness that they don't necessarily have to think about day in, day out, unless you're like a Philip Lahm or... Cyrus Christie. The less said about that
he's
one, the better.
He's not an immature Lahm, but yeah.
No, certainly not. But it's a completely different role. Like, I think there was one particular game I was watching early in the season, I think it was against Everton, where Everton caused City quite a few problems in there. Just, it was Fernandinho's early introduction to playing in that role, and while he did some good things well in terms of where he presses and intercepts, it's when the ball goes in behind or it's played into the box and it's not his natural role to kind of deal with the danger in the same way that, say, a Laporte, who's obviously out injured, would deal with it.
They really can't wait to get Laporte and Stones back together.
Yeah, well, maybe not even Stones, because Stones is great on the ball and everything.
He's
but
got no Stones.
I wasn't going to say that, yeah. But we can go with it. But yeah, no, Stones, it can be defensively suspect. Laporte, I think, is the one they definitely want to get back. And then obviously Otamendi is a bit of a headless chicken at times. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but then again, they're still going with Fernandinho in there from time to time. I would be interested to see if they'd ever try Rodri in that role either.
He did play one game. Yeah. Remember when Rodri and Fernandinho played together at centre-back? I think that was Watford, though, so you're
they
playing
get
against
away
one
it.
Of the worst
yeah.
attacks in the league. So yeah. Tomorrow, Phil has kind of indicated that you could have a chance of Leicester getting something against City here. How do you see it going?
I think it'll be 2-2.
Okay.
Yeah. Poor City defence, but what they have up front and the fact that Leicester have shown against the big teams, they're well able to compete. So.
Well, Liverpool fans will have a Cheshire grin if that's
the
game.
It's a great game, but it's actually at the same time as the Liverpool and Flamengo game. So,
you're going to watch the Premier League over that, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, you multi-screen it, Will.
Yeah. I suppose this said get a tablet, get something else, watch the two at the one time. I know it's directing a bit away from the Premier League, but we expect Liverpool to beat Flamengo. We saw both teams this week.
Well, I think people wonder why Liverpool fans aren't getting carried away, because Jordan Henderson played at centre-half the other day. Virgil van Dijk wasn't there. Now, he'll be back tomorrow. But that was just a little indication of what life would be like without Virgil van Dijk. Now, obviously, it won't be long before the likes of Joe Matip and Lovren are back as cover. But van Dijk is obviously key to why Liverpool are top of the league.
You could see how unorganised they were by comparison as well, particularly around set pieces. It's very clear that van Dijk is the guy who's calling the
shots. Also, it wasn't a great night for Andy Robertson.
No.
And obviously van Dijk plays on the left-hand side, and because Henderson was probably just trying to get through the game, and he did okay. But actually, like, Gomez had a few hairy moments as well, but that kind of space there between van Dijk and Robertson usually looks so secure. And Robertson obviously knows if he goes and Virgil van Dijk is there to cover, you know, whereas that wasn't the case the other night. So that's just a little indication. But he obviously left Mane and Firmino out. They'll come back in. I think they'll get the job done. I think they want to win this cup. It's one they've never won.
It's amazing that this is their sixth attempt at winning this. It was the old Intercontinental Cup before it became the Club World Cup.
They just want the prestige of saying we are the world club champions. Mm. And
although it is a Mickey Mouse Cup, according to some people, but
they sacrificed.
Not for Sao Paulo when you beat Liverpool back in 2005.
Yeah, no. I think for the teams from South America, for example, there is a prestige in beating the European teams who basically take all their players. So
yeah, and this is like they sacrificed the League Cup. Like, that was poorly organised. Where surely the organisers of the EFL Cup would have seen this down the road. If Liverpool get to a certain round, this clashes with the World Club Cup. So what did they do? Did they pull out, like United did with the FA Cup, or do they play a load of kids? And some people have accused Klopp of putting them in to get a hide into nothing. But some of those players might never play for Liverpool's first team, and they'll remember that performance at Villa Park. And do you know what? They weren't actually as bad as the scoreline suggests. And there was a big Liverpool travelling support there. So those young lads won't forget it. And there was one or two glimpses of maybe players that could break into the first team.
Two live games on Off the Ball this coming Sunday as well. The first one we're looking forward to is Watford against Manchester United. And Raf, I'd imagine for Man United, this should be a away win. Watford have been very poor.
You would think that.
I was going to give the caveat that at Anfield last week, Watford, I know they've got a change in management.
They troubled.
They look different.
Yeah. Watford have a problem in that they can't really score goals. I think they're still on, they still haven't got to double figures.
No, the lowest scores
in the league. However, on the point of Man United, they seem to turn up or at least play better against teams that come onto them, which aka the bigger teams, whether it be City or even when they played Liverpool earlier in the season. When they play teams of a Watford level, they're not quite as vibrant and they can get caught out. Now, that being said, again, they're going to be away from home. The onus is on Watford to come out, obviously, because they're looking to try and fight against relegation, which might suit United in that case, particularly with Rashford in great form and Martial's pace as well. But again, I'd be loath to make a prediction about United these days.
Well, Phil, before Pearson came in, this would have looked like a away win. Everyone's going to beat Watford this season. But what did you make of them last week?
They were very good. The only thing they couldn't do last week was put the ball in the net. Deulofeu, Sarr had chances. Deulofeu, Doucouré had that great chance. Troy Deeney is only coming back. So you kind of think if a chance had fallen on him. There was one where there was a cross put in from Sarr in the first half into the cop end and he couldn't get to it. He just wasn't sharp enough. But if you think, you know, he's another game under his belt, then, you know, he might be a bit sharper. I think if you're Watford, just sit in and let United come on to you. And, you know, they need the points. And then just hit them on the break with Deulofeu and Sarr.
Seems the ideal plan, really.
I think it'd be madness for Watford to go at United and just get absolutely picked apart. That's what United want. Everton started like that last week and you thought this could be a long day for Everton, and then they just retreated a little bit and then United just went looking a little bit like they lacked ideas, and that's why they need creative players.
Raf, your prediction for this one?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Ooh, Phil?
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. You'd still think United would probably be able to eke out a win, but there'll be a few moments where, yeah, you'll... If Nigel Pearson's going to pull off this great escape like he did with Leicester, like, they've got to start winning games.
Yeah, and what a boost it would be if they were to get a result against United this weekend.
And if we remember their great escape last time, the following season, obviously, maybe Ranieri comes in, takes over Watford and
wins the league.
Win the league. Yeah,
yeah, it's a perfect template.
Obviously, it's not
maybe Pearson gets to stay on at Watford and win the league.
Well, that's the 2 o'clock game on Off the Ball this coming Sunday. Then we've got a mouth-watering game at 4:30. It's, again, it seems the way Jose Mourinho started up against one of his former clubs in Chelsea. And this is an intriguing game, Raf, and a big boost for Tottenham with Alderweireld signing a new contract today until 2023 as well.
Yeah, Alderweireld, to get his name correct, was somebody Mourinho wanted to bring in when he was at Man United. So obviously he does trust him. And obviously they're coming up against Chelsea, who have shown, you know, with quite a young team with a lot of academy products, they've shown some good things earlier in the season. Seems to have dropped off a little bit. Might be just the perfect time to face them, especially their defence appears to be just leaking goals at the moment. Harry Kane's still in good form, and Son Heung-min has been excellent since Mourinho's come in, and even beforehand anyway. So I think Tottenham should have this.
Phil, Chelsea's form has kind of dropped off a cliff a bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like if Spurs win, they go fourth. And Mourinho will no doubt be very quick to point out the fact that when he took over...
The old Harry Redknapp, I took over a team near the relegation zone.
Yeah, and he'll say, here we are now, it's not even Christmas and we're already in fourth place where we should be. But let's cast our mind back to the start of the season. We all predicted Liverpool and City would be the two, and Spurs were the best equipped to challenge them, and they just started so badly under Pochettino that it was no surprise that as good a job as he did that
have
he
they
was
looked
really
better under Mourinho or not?
I think there's a bit, they look a bit fresher. It's almost like just a new voice has come in, and maybe it just a few little tweaks. And you'd imagine the Alderweireld thing, I wonder, was that something that from day one when Jose Mourinho met Daniel Levy, he said, I want Alderweireld. This is a guy that I want to sign. I don't care what age he is. You want young players. No, give him what he's worth. And we need him plus one, whether it's Davinson Sanchez or Vertonghen. And if Mourinho can get two reliable fullbacks, then he's got his defence sorted in his eyes. And they've so much attacking talent. And it's no surprise, one of the first things he did, Eric Dier, you're in there.
Yeah, he's a Mourinho type player.
Yeah, Mourinho wanted to sign him. And look, he took him off in that game against Olympiacos, but that was tactical and he didn't make excuses for it. Like Duncan Ferguson did with Moise Keane, he just said, we needed goals, so I just took off one of my holders.
Raf, give us a prediction then. What's going to happen at the London Stadium, or at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, I think as they're calling it for now?
Yeah, well, until they get their title sponsor. But Tottenham haven't been defensively stable all the way through. I think they're starting to get a little bit better. Chelsea have been worse in that regard. So I would go 2-1 Tottenham.
Phil?
Yeah, I think Tottenham will win maybe 2 or 3-1. And okay. I wonder then, will Frank Lampard decide to go out in the January sales? Because he can do that.
Oh, guaranteed. I think once that was overturned, like, we gave them lots of credit for playing the young players. I think a lot of that was due to just necessity at the start of the season.
Yeah, some of them did so well. I wonder what kind of game time they get in the second half of the season then.
Okay, let's do a very quick flick around the rest of the games before we finish up then, Raf. Newcastle, Crystal Palace, how's this going?
0-0.
Right.
Yeah, probably the worst game of the weekend, I'd say.
Phil, Aston Villa, Southampton?
That's going to be 2-1 to Southampton.
Raf?
1-0 Aston Villa.
Norwich got a great result last week. They host Wolves this week. How's it going to go?
Wolves 1-0.
2-1 to Wolves.
Okay. We've got Brighton against Sheffield United. Sheffield United flying really high in the table at the moment.
2-2.
2-1 Sheffield United.
Ooh, okay. And Bournemouth against Burnley, our last game of the weekend. The Battle of the Bees. What way is it going?
Eddie Howe derby.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this won't be... I don't think this is going to be brilliant. Well, it won't be great to watch.
Obviously, many goals in this.
Mostly with Burnley's involvement. But I'd go 1-1.
I go 1-0 Burnley, set piece.
Okay. They're the guys' picks for this weekend. Remember, you can listen to both games on Sunday on Off the Ball at 2. You've got Watford against Manchester United at 4:30. That meeting of Tottenham against Chelsea. Have yourself a lovely Christmas. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks' time here on the Paddy Power Half Hour.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, the greatest football partnership since Jeff and Heskey.